The executive director of the Union Gospel Mission at the time was Reverend Frank Koop, presently living in Calgary. It seemed as though Frank was always at the mission. Frank had made an arrangement with the bakeries, and before they opened their businesses in the early morning, Frank was at their back doors loading up day-old bread, buns, and donuts, which he gave to the street people who wandered aimlessly back and forth along the Skid Row stretch. If these homeless and destitute entered the mission for a service, they were honored with a cup of coffee. The mission never closed its doors. Sundays, Christmas, Easter, indeed any holiday, was the mission's busiest day. On those days, Frank would have a special treat for the transients and would cook up a huge boiler full of soup. The lineup at the door was early and long. I was on deck Sunday nights with my team. John Kelsaw, now superintendent of rail operations for the CPR, shared with me in the preaching of a simple evangelical message, and Helen Hill, a teacher in the Winnipeg School Division, was our pianist. For a little variety in the evening service, John and I would sing a duet or play our violins, and Helen very patiently endured our noble efforts. John, with his raspy nasal tone, and I with my guttural grunts, surely must have made our accompanist wince with pain at times. One evening, after the service, a gentleman very courteously approached us, and referring to the duet we had just sung, asked if we preferred our performance to music. We did our very best, and Frank always complimented us, which incidentally was no compliment to his taste for music. This incident took place on a Sunday night, and we were on deck again. Frank greeted us at the door. "Henry, see that fella in the back row with the wide-brimmed black hat, which, by the way, he never takes off? You have seen him before, I'm sure. He's been coming the last Sunday of the month. He always comes a half hour early, sits through the evening service, and is the first to exit at the end of the service. He's asked about you. I guess because you come on Sunday nights. I think he would like to talk to you. You've got time before the service, so why don't you go and strike up a conversation?" I sauntered over. "Hi, my name is Henry. I see you visiting occasionally. Let's get to know each other." Men that visit the mission are usually not the talkative kind. They don't make eye contact. They surely never divulge their identity. Many have been in and out of prisons. They deeply feel the failure their lives have been. They walk the streets alone. They sit in the service alone, isolated from others. They sit on the curbs in the lanes, alone, under loading docks, behind abandoned homes and warehouses, along the train tracks and riverbanks, alone. The benches in the Central Parks are full. They are lonely, lonely, friendless people without hope. Many walk the streets at night when they'll not be easily identified. They walk the lanes checking the garbage bins. In desperation, they will ask for a cigarette. If given the gift of money, it is spent on alcohol to alleviate their despondency and gloom. A visitor replied, "My name is Jake. I used to come to Winnipeg every last weekend of the month just to sit in the bars Saturdays and find someone to talk to, just kill time. On Sundays, I would end up coming to this mission before catching my night train at 10:50. I'm from up north. I'm a miner. I've been one all my life." His hands were a study, disfigured, calloused, brutally abused. His fingernails were chipped and splintered, and enough dirt under them to grow a harvest of potatoes. Two fingers obviously had been broken at one time and not properly set to mend. One was askew 30 degrees and the other had a double hook in it. No detergent could have washed the ingrained accumulated dirt from those hands. And then you end up in the mission, do you? Tell me, Jake, what attracts you to this mission? What does it mean to you? The coffee is putrid. The donuts are stale. The music is almost unbearable and the preaching amateurish. Tell me why you return again and again, Sunday nights. Or is this merely the place where you can kill time? Jake fidgeted in his seat, an old discarded theater seat, now worn threadbare. Well, I used to come to Winnipeg to have a good time, sow my oats, if you know what I mean, get food, well, get good and drunk, and sleep all the way home. Arrive in Thompson in the morning, ready to go down in the hole again to load granite into cars. That's been my life. But not anymore. I like this mission. There's nothing like this up at Thompson. I come here because of what happened to me 4 months ago. I interjected. 4 months ago. Jake, are you a Christian? Jake confirmed with a big smile and a strong handshake. How did that come about? Tell me. The service was about to start, and I suggested we speak after the service, and I would drive him to the station. This was Jake's story after the evening service. On a Sunday night 4 months ago, I boarded the train. I don't recall too much about that, too drunk, I guess, but I had a few of those pamphlets you give away at the front door every Sunday night. I had taken some with no intention of reading them. I knew they were some religious stuff I knew nothing about, nor did I care. I remember taking a handful, and I must have crammed them into my pocket when I got to my cabin, which was totally frozen. I used them to make a fire. One caught my attention, which had a heading on it, something about a miner. I read it. It was a story about a guy whose life was, believe it or not, just like mine. He was also a miner. He was exactly a guy like me, every bit like me. I saw myself as dirty, ugly, filthy, wasted. To put it in your language, I saw myself as a sinner. I didn't believe in God, but somehow I knew I was a sinner. That was on a Monday morning, and all that month to the next Sunday, I thought of nothing else but who I really was, like the guy in the story. I must have read that story 100 times. I thought, who in the world would be just like me? I wound up hating who I was. I couldn't sleep. I got up in the night, added wood to the fire in my stove, and just sat there thinking and thinking and thinking about my life. I was either losing my marbles or God was speaking to me, so I thought. I was making a thorough assessment of my life. What good was my life? I go down in the hole, make a few bucks, spend it on booze, or blow it gambling, or spend it on a woman. Then I go down in the hole, make a few bucks, spend it on booze. The cycle goes on, over and over again. That's all I do. The guy in the story did the very same thing, and then he found God, and his whole life was changed. His life changed from darkness and gloom and worthlessness to a life of joy. Living for God. I began to ask myself, how does a guy find God? The next month end, when I came to Winnipeg, I happened to be walking this street, heard the music, came in. I had a load of liquor in me, but for some reason I felt God was talking to me. I even prayed along in that closing prayer you prayed. You prayed a blessing on every guy here. You prayed that all might discover a new life by being born again. It sounded pretty stupid to me at the time, but I prayed it. I even meant it. All that night in the train going home, I never slept a wink. I thought of all the things I'd heard. The thoughts that came to my mind were thoughts I'd never thought before. I know now that they must have come from God. I prayed all the way home. You know what? God came into my life. He really did. He even took away my alcohol and my desire to satisfy my other appetites. I just feel like a brand new man. In fact, I am a new man. I'm what you prayed. Born again. I know what that means now. The last months, I've been coming to Winnipeg for an altogether different purpose. I come here to hear the music and the things that are said about the Bible or from the Bible. I wouldn't miss it for anything. Yeah, that's why I come. I want to hear more about God. I come Saturdays now, too, and Sundays. By the way, did you say you would drive me to the station? Are you still game?